Sahan, and welcome to the Unnamed Movement Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And we're here back again doing what we kind of did last year, where we just said, fuck it, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead because that's over.
Yeah, but you know what though, Andrew? So, would you say that The Walking Dead is your favorite TV show right now?
No. Damien? No, I would not.
You?
It is the one that I've just finished watching, so yes.
look guys, we're one day away from Mad Men season premiere.
This is true. Who cares?
So I don't understand what that has to do with anything. Thought we were talking about best TV shows.
Exactly. So, Andrew doesn't think that The Walking Dead is his best TV show. Mm-hmm.
Luther is not on yet.
But
so Walking Dead wins.
Whatever. Generally, clearly, mm-hmm. Walking Dead is not your favorite TV show.
No, Walking Dead is
it's up there, but it's not number one, right?
Let me.
So anyway, no. Mm-hmm. That's all I want.
While
to
I'm know. Watching it.
Yeah, yeah, it's
the best thing that I've ever seen.
Right. I don't care about your opinion. Okay. And I love the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's, you know, the best thing I've ever seen or my favorite TV mm-hmm. show that I watch. However, my point that I'm getting at is I think The Walking Dead is the only TV show that we've actually done a podcast like this for. What makes it so special, Andrew?
So what makes it so special is that we just kind of did it and we're doing it again.
Yes.
I tried to schedule us to do a couple others, like a Justified one last year, or a Game of Thrones one last year, or a Breaking Bad one, and then every time it just wouldn't fit into our time space, and then it just kept creeping away, and then we just forgot to do it.
That's true. So I think we should make a pact.
Okay.
On this podcast.
That when The New Girl ends.
Can we do a girls podcast? You guys can marathon that, then we can do girls.
Sure. I can also hug myself. There's that.
Oh.
There's Mad Men, guys. Mad Men is starting up. That could be the next one.
I'm not watching Mad Men.
Okay.
So,
so I think we do need to do more of these, Andrew. Let's do some... Well, for example,
right.
Justified just finished last
and
week.
I've seen half of it so far.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yes, it is.
And so we can do a Justified one next week.
Exactly. Anyway, in keeping with our fearless leader's segues.
I don't want you to steal his catchphrase.
Oh,
it doesn't belong to you.
Sorry.
It belongs to him and Movado and nobody else.
Apologies.
And Movado pays me royalties every
exactly.
time he says it. Let's
He's Jamaican. You know he don't pay your shit.
But he's supposed to pay.
I'm sure Andrew has like a big Excel file mm-hmm. where he keeps track of every time and mm-hmm. you know calculates the percentage he's supposed to get mm-hmm. and that's about as close as he sees mm-hmm. he gets to seeing that number. However,
see, I didn't use it.
Okay. However, we
not
are talking about The Walking Dead today. We are kind of like The Talking Dead. I've actually never watched that TV show, isn't that what it is? It's essentially a TV version of a podcast about The Walking Dead?
Basically.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I've never watched it either. The only relation I've had to it is hearing Chris Hardwick talk about it while listening to the Nerdist podcast.
Okay, fair enough. So I guess we can call this podcast The Whispering Dead.
But there's no whisper.
We are the dead whisperers. No, or maybe not.
So anyways, I built on it. I made it more special at that moment. We're wanting to talk about The Walking Dead Season 3, and we are going to be as in-depth as we want. So if you have yet to see anything from The Walking Dead Season 3, which just finished a week ago... I should probably say 2 weeks, because when this goes up, it'll be around 2 weeks. And you are afraid of spoilers, then I recommend you turn this off right now and go and listen to a different episode of this podcast where we're not spoiling The Walking Dead. Damien.
Yes.
Right? I think you are the only one of us who has actually read the comic books at this point. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. I haven't read all of them, but I've read quite a few.
Did you read any of them that was related to this season of The Walking Dead?
Loosely. Loosely related, yes.
Well, you know, I have no idea as to how closely adapted
so
these
So in the comic
are.
There is a section where they are in a prison, and that is about as close as, like, the show takes themes and some locations, but it is like they've gone in different directions. It is still, they're still both grim and at times the worst thing that you can do to yourself. Because the same guy who wrote the comics is helping to, you know, oversee the writing on the TV show.
Oh, he didn't get fired?
No.
Oh, okay. I love how every season Frank Darabont is like, all of you people who helped me make this great season, you're fired.
And then Frank Darabont gets fired at the end of season two.
So the tone is similar. A lot of the themes are similar. But the specifics are, they're not the same. It's not a shot for shot recreation of the comic book. I'm also the only one to have watched The Walking Dead season 3 properly. You guys have watched it over, what's it, 8 months?
Yeah, about that. It was a long time, especially with that huge
over,
break in there.
Over 8 months. Which sounds like a good way to watch anything. So, what I did was, I woke up Thursday at 12 in the afternoon because I'm a grown man. And I watched 4 episodes, had dinner, watched 4 more episodes, went to bed, woke up and watched the rest of the Walking Dead. So yeah, in maybe 24 hours, well, maybe done. 36 hours, I saw all of The Walking Dead, all 16 episodes. And so yeah, that is how The Walking Dead should be watched. In the middle of the night when it's dark, there's no light coming from anywhere, where you're watching a tense scene and your cat runs past for no reason. And you jump out of the couch because you're convinced that bad things are about to happen. And you have terrible nightmares because you've just watched the worst things that can happen to people happen on the TV show. And then you thought, what I'll do now is sleep. Which is terrible plan. So The Walking Dead, I can speak more specifically than all of you. You guys barely remember the final episode. This season, Rick and the group, they take over this prison. And when they get into the prison, they find out that there are some prisoners who are locked inside of the prison. And so the initial decision that they have to make is whether or not to take on these criminals as part of their group, or, you know, murder them, or find some other way to resolve this matter. They immediately get rid of 2 of the prisoners. They found 4. They immediately get rid of 2 because one guy was a complete and total psycho. And then they cleared out 1 section of the prison for the other 2. And this doesn't work out because one of the prisoners that they thought was dead survived miraculously, as everyone does in The Walking Dead whenever they need them to push along the story. They're against the worst odds imaginable, and they magically come out alive. And he sabotages the prison, and that leads to the black guy dying, which... of course, it's a horror movie. I'm surprised he lasted this long. Should have been dead a long time ago. And he died, and Rick's wife was pregnant, and that trauma kind of forced her into labor. And then the worst thing in this entire series happens. Unbelievable that is episode 4 in this season.
I couldn't believe it. I saw 4 that and I was like, isn't this something that you put out in the finale?
I watched that episode and the episode after about 3 times. Just to kind of understand what in God's name
is, and I didn't like watch all of it and then come back. When I saw episode 4, I watched episode 5 and then I said, I need to understand what is really happening in this. So I watched 4 and 5 again, like 2 more times, so to give myself a real idea of what I'm supposed to be expecting for the rest of the season. Because if we're going to get this grim this early, then the rest of the show is just going to be like the worst thing, and they should not put it on television. It didn't get worse than that, thankfully, because that would have been way too depressing. She goes into labor and, you know, bad things happen. She gives birth to her daughter and Rick loses his mind. But then they're faced with, now that they've secured the prison, they're faced with this other guy who is the governor, who he has found a way to secure this town called Woodbury. But he is also a psychopath. And so he, in his own way of trying to not only protect this place called Woodbury by any kind of any means necessary, he kind of picks and chooses who he wants to become part of the community, and there's no real rhyme or reason for what he does. And so his psychosis and his unwillingness to, you know, bend to any situation leads him to, you know, this point where he wants to take over the prison that Rick is in only for the purpose of taking over the prison. It's not so that he can move the people of Woodbury into a safer place, because he's already set up this town, and taking the people from the town and then putting them in a prison, according to him, is this terrible thing that the townsfolk wouldn't go for. And so he now has beef with Rick, and a lot of things happen because of that. And that is, at the end of the season, that issue is resolved, but it is resolved with giant quotations. The governor,
it's clear that
the governor is alive.
Yeah, he is.
And Rick's people are alive.
The governor's people are alive.
The governor's people, right. The governor turns out to be even more of a psychopath than,
than we all thought.
Anyone thought. And they end the season there. So the truly high point.
Yeah, but the one last thing that happens, though, is that Rick now takes on a lot of
the
governor, the Woodbury people, and they come over to the prison.
It doesn't seem like he took all of them.
No,
it
it's clearly that he took some, and So there are going to be clear factions now. You know, there's going to be the governor's people and his people. And
the truly high point was episode 4, but that is fair.
No, I think, you know what I think happened? There was a high point at episode 4. It kind of dipped, and slowly but surely it came
No,
it
no,
came
I'm not
right
saying that it all, like, you don't need to watch anything past that. That is not, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is, when I think back about the season, the truly high point is what happened to Rick's wife. That was the most,
and his response to that in the following episode.
That was the most, like, even though it was kind of expected, right? You expect that people die in the show, but how she dies and who kills her, that takes the show from being, all right, we understand that the world has gone to shit and bad things are bound to happen. But that is a step. They do that and you go, alright, I can point to that and go, if people don't want to watch The Walking Dead, or I want to sway people from not watching The Walking Dead, I can point to that and go, that is why this show is the worst, and I don't think people should watch it. But at the same time, that is what makes this show great, is because literally anything can happen. And by the end of the season, so much shit happens in this season. This is like, you can see where people complain about the second season. You know, they spent too much time on the farm and not enough shit happened until the very, very end of the season. And a lot of people went, yeah, season 2 felt, you know, it started out strong and then it kind of waned in the middle, and then they had to pick it up by the end. But in this one, the shit hits the fan, like every episode. There's just bad shit happening and then worse shit happening. Even though they found two places where they're relatively safe. And that is what is great about the comics, and that is what the TV show is now making great. In the comic books, what you realize is that the zombies is a thing that they can manage. With enough planning, you can plan for whatever the zombies will do. Herds will roll through every now and again that you can't plan for, just massive amounts of zombies that you just have to move. There's not really anything you can do. But you find out very quickly that it's not the zombies people need to be afraid of. It is the other survivors that people really need to be afraid of. And I think that is what is emphasized most in this season. And that is why I think this, even more than the first two seasons, is the best season that I've seen.
Of course. And actually, that's what I think it was George Romero that I heard talk about it. Because, you know, he's a lot of people zombie. will talk to about him when they talk about
never
who created
mind, he's
zombies
made
and who
a good zombie movie and the rest of them are horseshit.
But I think it was an interview with him and he said something to the effect of that all the good zombie movies are the ones where they realize and the ones where they show that it's not the zombies that you die from or that poses the threat. Mm-hmm. It's just people's fear. Right, so you don't die from zombies because zombies kind of just they walk at about a half a mile an hour. You could literally just walk right in front of them and mm-hmm. walk away from them and you'd be fine. But it's the fact that you're afraid of them and you make mistakes. And as you said, other people know civilization breaks down or civility breaks down and nobody looks out for anybody. And on the contrary, people are now actively, we would say, bad mining, you know. People are actively deciding to kill and do horrible things in the name of power and wealth is not the right word, but physical comfort, so to speak, because money doesn't matter now.
Right. You'll do anything under the guise of we have to do this in order to survive.
Yeah.
Which I even pointed out towards the end. That is what Rick's son started doing towards the end of
the
show. Right?
Yes, that was actually, I really like where they're going with Rick's son. I feel like next season we're going to have some sort of showdown, like or some sort of intervention with that kid. Mm-hmm. But actually, not to go on another path, that's why I love a show like The Survivor. It's just like The Survivors, rather. Some British, like, post-apocalyptic thing that we've spoken about before. But it's the same thing. It's all about, it's not about the fact that there's a sickness or that there are these zombies, but it's the fact that all these people now are going batshit crazy. And you can't, you know, you can't trust anybody. But can I tell you, my favorite, one of the best parts of this episode has been a guy that I've spoken about already, David Morrissey. He plays the governor. He is
Philip.
He is one of the best parts of this series.
Get off on that. Poking around other people's things. We got nothing to hide here.
People with nothing to hide don't usually feel the need to say so.
That's fair. We all have our secrets, huh?
Like Penny.
You know about Penny? Then you know I loved her.
Bet you say that about all the girls.
You got the wrong idea about me. I'm just a guy trying to do right by the people I care about. And you want to leave. Andrea wants to stay. So you want me to take choice out of the equation. You want me to kick you out. Actually, I was about to give you a sword back. Because you fit in. We've enjoyed having you.
I mean, Rick is great. Merle coming back was kind of fun. But I think... I mean, I keep trying to bring him down a peg to like number two or number three. But no, I think he's my favorite character this season. He just does everything well. And he's this great British actor. And he's in a bunch of stuff that I've been kind of getting into lately. But he plays that psychopath, disturbed, and willing to do anything type of character just so well.
Andrew Robinson, you clearly don't like The Walking Dead. So tell us your feelings.
No, man, I'm with you guys. I mean, I just wanted to get everything you guys were saying. I mean, you guys have mentioned a lot of things, but you talked about episode 4, the episode in which Rick's wife dies in childbirth, and her son has to end up making sure she doesn't turn into a zombie. Let's put it that way. But I kind of feel, more than anything else, more than what you guys have talked about, what I loved about this season was its ability to call back in from things that were from season 1, season 2. I mean, we get to see new characters coming in, the likes of Michonne, who, I mean, we saw a glimpse of her at the last second of season 2 when Andrea finally escaped from the farm, from the herd on the farm, with the zombies chained up to her and her with her sword. And now we finally gotten to get to know her as a character. And I mean, there's an episode where Rick, his son, and Michonne all go back to the town that we started in, and we finally get to meet back what's his character's name? I have it right here. His name is Morgan. We get to meet back with Morgan, who's played by Lenny James, was so disappointed by when we only had the one episode with him in the first season. Like I wanted him to come back. After the end of season 1, that in season 2, we got the walkie coming in and him going like, hey, I'm down the road, and he comes into the group. But we get, like, it feels so much better at this point, paying off the fact that we haven't seen him this long, that he has become this version of a person, that you can see that the solitude and the fact that he's had to go through all of these things have turned him into this individual. And we can look at how Rick as a person has changed over time.
Good man. Not like me, not like my wife. You remember what happened to her? You remember what she was? Yeah. You gave me the gun. You tried.
What did I try, Morgan? What did I try?
You tried to get me to do it because I was supposed to do it. I was supposed to kill her. My Jenny knew I was supposed to, but I let it go. Let it go like there wasn't going to be a reckoning. We was always looking for food, you know? It always came down to food. And I was checking out a cellar. And I didn't want Dwayne to come down there with me. And then when I came up, she was standing there right in front of him. And he had his gun up. And he couldn't do it. So I called to him. And he turned. And then she was just on him.
and I see red. I see red. Everything is red. Everything I see is red, and I do it. Finally. Finally, it was too late. I was supposed to. I was selfish. I was weak. You gave me the gun. Hey, your boy. Is he dead?
No.
No? He will be. See, because people like you, the good people, they always die. And the bad people do too. But the weak people, the people like me, we have inherited the earth.
And you guys even go on to look at the governor, who's another big character this season, as to how his psychosis has gone. Is that a word? I think I just made up another word.
No, psychosis is not a word.
has changed over the period to become this kind of person. And Rick, seeing the governor and seeing Morgan, can see the people who he doesn't want to become, who he can see him possibly turning into based on all of the things which have now happened in this season, including the fact that he was willing to give up Michonne for the group, to give another person up just to say, my son, my farmer friend, Daryl, are all going to be fine because I'll give up this person who I've only known for, let's call it, a couple weeks. I really don't know how much time has gone by in Walking Dead world, but the and then that kind of plays even further into what we see at the end of the show of the season, when we see the bus come in with all of those people, where not only is he, as you guys are saying, talking about his son and how his son is finally, as I like to put it, kind of becoming the Shane of the season, where he's kind of going Mad Max a little too quickly, and he's trying to give his son this showing that even though he had this transformation at the end of season 2, where we got that big speech where he became the Rictator of the group and created this Rictatorship, he sees how that shift in power and shift in mentality can lead you down a path, and wants to intentionally stop himself from doing that, and showing to his son that we need to make an honest attempt to not go down that path. Because I mean, while I loved Morgan, and there was even the episode following, there was even a moment where you saw when the governor was preparing for his battle, and he was getting all of these walkers, these zombies, in a pit to then push them into the battle, as you could assume. There was a moment where someone came in and sabotaged that. And the way that they had filmed that moment, they had like a guy in black gloves, you only saw the gloves and everyone being burnt. I kind of thought that this was Morgan coming back to be like, you know what? Rick is there, he came back, he said nice things to me, but then it turned out to be the scientist, yes, dude in Woodbury.
No, of course.
Yeah. And that was slightly disappointing to me, because they could have found 10,000 different reasons or 10,000 different ways for the governor to turn on the scientist friend, or the scientist friend to turn on the governor. Which was kind of expected by me, because it was obvious that while the governor is crazy and the scientist, the right hand man, was very wasn't always paying full attention to what the governor was doing, because he was more focused on the trying to figure out if he could cure this quote unquote disease, and we knew that it was kind of obvious that wasn't going to work out. I mean, it's a slight disappointment for me in that regard, but I'm just, I kind of harp on it, and I just am so happy that they've treated this character of Morgan like that. I don't know, and I don't even think I want any more of him now. I think they've done all they can with him. But Damian, you brought up the fact that T-Dog dies in this season.
Yes.
And I remember reading a lot of recaps around that time in the season where in the following episode, we get introduced to a new character. And I can't remember the character name right now, but I do know that he is the actor who played Cutty in The Wire.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And people were making comments about the fact that The Walking Dead has been very, let's say, economical about the use of their black characters.
Right.
In the fact that it's only when one dies that another one comes in.
Okay.
To keep the numbers up.
There's a quota, Andrew.
They've been economical with their white characters as well. Let's be fair. Alright, so specifically when I saw that the guy died, and then Cutty appeared with his group, I knew that wasn't going to work out because it was a group of them. And Michonne had already been established. So if they were going to replace a black character with another black character, they've already established which black character they preferred. One has a ninja sword, and the other one has a group of people that he's trying to protect. So he had no chance of being part of the group. And Ninja Girl is also black, and so now she's part of the group. So the quota is still in effect. But it is, like, even if they did that on purpose, I really don't see what kind of, I don't see the argument that people are having. You know, they already got over the whole racial thing from the first season, where the most racist dude in the show was tied to a roof, and he now appeared in the third season. Right? And He said awful things, but racism was the least of his worries. No, in this third season, he didn't. I mean, they alluded to it when him and his brother was walking in the woods, but I mean, the whole racial tension thing goes away because at this point, the outbreak has been going on for at least 9 months, because that's how long it takes a baby to grow and be born. And so, for a year, at least 1 year now, the people have been dealing with this outbreak day to day. And so, racial tensions mean nothing when there's literally something that is going to eat your face off. In the beginning, of course, you know, you're not going to be on the road with these type of people or that type of people. Even when the farmer met, what's his name? The Chinese dude.
Glenn,
right. When the farmer, when Herschel first met Glenn, he was kind of standoffish because he didn't really want this guy to be with his daughter. Fast forward 9 months, any good guy at all in the world is okay.
Because they're not very many of those
exactly.
Anymore.
if you can hang on to racism when everything dead is trying to eat your face, you're truly, truly racist. And you should, racism like that should be applauded. It's a true test.
A true test of character,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Of one's own personal will.
I am steadfast in the belief that I am better than this class of people, even when things are trying to eat my face. One of my favorite things that happened this season was Rick losing his mind, essentially. When it started out, it was kind of the typical, you know, Rick was just angry and he went back in to the prison and murdered everything in sight and didn't want anyone to touch him or be around him. But then when he came out from that, he held his baby for the first time and they said, yeah, Rick, while you were out being crazy, these new people entered the prison. And then you see this figure that he's looking at. You didn't really know that it was his wife.
No, you knew it was his wife.
They didn't. There was no close-up shot. It was just this woman
in
white.
It wasn't explicit.
Right. It was just this woman in white. You could assume that it was his wife, but they didn't. Like, they didn't show you her face.
But didn't you see? You saw him hallucinating from before, though, so you knew that.
No. This was his first hallucination was when he was dealing with the group. This was before the phone rang or any of that. The phone wasn't before that.
Yeah, the phone was before that because immediately once he found out that his wife had the baby and was essentially dead, he lost his mind, ran into the place where all of the zombies were, killed each and every one of those zombies, and spoke to his wife on the phone.
No.
Yes.
No, he came out. That is why Herschel went down there to talk to him. Herschel would not have gone in there by himself. He has one foot. Why would he have gone in there to speak to Rick about the phone? No, what happened was he came back out the first time. Mm-hmm. They're like, yo, son. Because the phone rang. He came outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that it was his wife on the phone.
He thought it was real people.
Right. He thought it was real people. He came outside, hugged his baby. They said, yo, son, there's four new people. And then he hallucinated and saw his wife up there and started waving his gun around. He's going to murder him. Alright. They thought that he was talking to them.
No, but it was clear he was talking to...
Right.
Yeah.
On a side note, am I the only one who found it really funny, like in the later episodes when Merle was going to take off Michonne, that when he was packing his bag, he packed the phone?
I saw that.
Funny. I mean, I knew he needed while.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what he was using the phone for, but yeah. Oh, wait, no, they showed you the wire, and yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know that it was the wire he was getting.
And so, watching Rick, like, completely lose his mind, and then take a couple steps back, and then take further steps forward into losing. Like, when you're going outside with a gun, looking for a woman that you know, he knew she's not there. He knew she was dead. And I like when Herschel goes to the fence and he's like, Rick, dog, you have to come back inside. And he comes to the fence and he's like, see? And he's like, no.
I saw something. Lori. It's all over. I'm seeing Lori. I know it's not really her, but there's got to be a reason. It's got to mean something, you know.
Was it her on the phone?
Yeah. Shane, too. In the town.
Do you see him now? You're looking for him.
Oh, I'm waiting.
For what?
I don't know. Son. There's an answer. I know it doesn't make sense. Well, it does. It can't make sense. I mean, I think in time it will make sense.
Rick, come on in. You need rest. It's not safe out here.
I can't.
Can't come inside.
I know, right?
I can't.
He's like, I need more time.
Guys, I know she's not alive.
But I need to find her.
But I have to... What if she needs to talk to me? I'm like, holy shit. Because when the phone rang the first time, I'm like, if this TV show expects me to believe that a year after the collapse of humanity, the phone systems are still up,
They're high and drunk.
I was half expecting for there to be a shot where you saw him go to the wire and pull the wire, and then you see no end.
That would not have been that obvious. That would not have been fun.
And so when I saw Rick the Data, I went, all right, fine. And then that was compounded with the Morgan thing, because Rick saw Morgan and realized that he was like this close, like a step away from being that type of lunatic, right? And I love the fact that they say, like with the Morgan thing, you just sit in his room on the wall, that his son turned. He just wrote whatever his son name,
yeah,
and turned and he went, oh shit. Right? And then that story is just like, it's stories like that make you realize that at no point is The Walking Dead going to be better. Nothing good is, and that is why I think this is both the best and worst thing. It is the worst. Like, watching this, there's no happiness in The Walking Dead. Telling a story like that, for any other show, would just be mean. Right? It would just be a thing that you're doing to compound things. Like, you're just making the audience feel worse just for the sake of making them feel worse. But in The Walking Dead, it feels like it's not earned, but it feels not out of place, right? When you hear that, okay, it is the wife that he couldn't shoot in the first episode, right? He had her in his sight, and they didn't tell you whether or not he shot her. You just saw him crying and shaking the gun, and then it cut away, and you never saw him again. So to hear that, you know, it was the mother, and then he calls out to his son. His son turns, and then just the worst. The thing that he should have done to rectify. But we can sit and say, yes, you should kill your wife, because you know she's a zombie. But because we're not put in that position, you don't know whether or not you'd be able to do it. And he was one of the people that wasn't. And he has the absolute best line in the entire series: the weak shall inherit the earth. Not the meek. He says he couldn't shoot her because he's weak. And it is the weak. He's going to outlive everybody because he's weak. And it is the weak who will inherit the earth. And when that is tremendous, tremendous writing. And this show is never going to get any better. Nothing good will ever happen. There'll never be a point where, because they're in a prison where they're sealed inside, they're safe for the most part. And Woodbury, despite all this madness, the people inside, they're safe. So you'd think that this would be the happy season where, well, everybody's safe. I guess the only trouble would come, you know, with them finding food or them finding, you know, kind of supplies to keep everybody, like, well fed and happy. But no. Mm-mm. The season is just the worst. I was watching. And my sister saw me watching, and she's like, "You still watching Walking Dead?" And I said, "Yeah." And she's like, "But you don't look happy." I said, "Because I'm not. It is not like Justified, where watching Raylan do the right things, you go, yeah, all of these things, I'm glad to be happy. There's nothing good about this." It is always the worst things that are happening. And I don't know why I watch this. Because at the end of this, it's not like there's going to be a rainbow at the end of this. It is always going to be like this. And she's like, yeah, then why don't you just stop watching it? I said, I can't do that. Because it is the best thing. It is so I don't know why AMC is determined to, between this and Breaking Bad, if you have a depression problem, you should just delete AMC from the channel listing. Because if you find yourself watching either of these shows, you're just going to kill yourself.
Well, to be fair to AMC, yeah, whatever. Sure. To be fair to AMC, they have cancelled Breaking Bad. And so now, at least after another few episodes, like six episodes,
I don't know if it's cancelled. when you tell people that this should be your final season, that's not how cancel works.
Whatever.
You're
same,
finishing
it's,
the
story. It's the same result.
Nope.
Okay. Yes, it is. After 6 episodes, I will not have any more.
All right, Douglas. They'll make the Breaking Bad TV movie special.
Oh, that would be great.
A Breaking Bad Christmas special would be the worst.
I'm sure it would be disgustingly bad.
I hate
you can just imagine
now.
Jesse and Walt just by the tree, just opening up their presents in the morning.
Yep. And then gunmen kicking the door, threatening to kill them and their families.
And then Walt
has to kill half the people he knows. And
he does it anyway.
Then
he
smiles, and then his wife is addicted to heroin. Good is ever going to
happen. That could happen by the end of this episode, this series.
Like, I don't want this to become, you know, us talking a lot about the Breaking Bad, but I fully expect Walt to kill his brother-in-law by the end of this season. His wife will be, and I want his wife to be a part of it. And then they have to hide it from her sister. That is how the show ends. Like, just the worst things happen.
But, well, we already know how the show ends because they showed it to us with the two big machine guns.
I don't know if that's the end. We know that's somewhere along the way.
Yeah, man. I just assume because that's what they've done all of these seasons. The first episode is really the last episode, and then they just fill in the blanks. So, that's what I assume they do in this one. I mean, sure, it won't be the very end, you know. He will actually pull the trigger, and you will see who he's pulling the trigger at, and it will make sense. But that's essentially the end, I think.
Face Off will always be the best episode. Oh. Ting, 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 ting.
But bringing it back to Walking Dead, right? There was, as you guys mentioned, Merle kind of just reappeared in this show.
Yep.
And they gave him a finality in this season. Like, yes, he's definitely not coming back.
He's gone.
He became a zombie, and then Daryl had to deal with that. were you saddened by Merle zombie?
I wanted Merle to be there forever.
Merle's
the entire
a
funny group.
Character. I mean, he's a disgusting man if you look at him as a person, like a real person.
Like,
but
as a human being.
Exactly. But if you are thinking of it in terms of what will give me the most entertainment out of this TV show, Merle was one of those things. He was great.
And you know what's the worst part about it? The worst part about it is that just before that, we get this scene of Merle pretty much almost taking down the governor. And it's moments like that where you can see that there's a level of competence in what this character will do, in how he decides to enact this thing, where he has this car blazing with music where you kind of think he's being an idiot or he's suicidal and he has all of these zombies following him, only to use that as a cover to allow him to pick off all of the governor's men and eventually try and get the governor, which kind of made me, in a moment, want Merle to live on and want him to be redeemed in some manner. It kind of made me think about this thing because I was listening to another podcast earlier this week. I was listening to the Broken Projector podcast.
Shut up. Other podcast.
And the hosts were talking about making the audience like unlikable characters. The co-host, Jeff LaTulip, who I believe he's a writer for Going the Distance, he was talking about how he once wrote a short story for his professor, and the professor left him a note in which the short story was basically Hitler baking a quiche for a dinner party. And the note that the professor left him on the thing was, fuck you for making me care about Hitler, right? And it's these tiny human moments where, like, even though strategizing to murder a man isn't really the most human of moments. In the zombie apocalypse, strategizing to murder the worst person in our universe is pretty much the most human moment you can make in a show like this. And that's what made me like Meryl. I think for the first time in this entire series, I enjoyed Meryl as a slimy character the same way I enjoy watching the governor smile and then go out of his town and murder a series of people. But I never liked him. And that was the moment that made me like Meryl, which made it so much more hurtful when he became a zombie. And oddly enough, when you saw him as a zombie for the first time, I kind of half expected zombie Meryl to say something racist.
All right, that's very cheesy. Yeah,
that's on you.
But
I don't know how your brain is working. Like that,
yeah, can
sure.
I tell you, Andrew? I had the complete opposite feeling. I didn't like what they did. How they essentially gave Meryl his moment of redemption. Meryl is a slimy man, mm-hmm. right? He is a horrible human being. And
he's a dirtbag.
Yeah. He is, as far as I'm concerned, so far gone that there is no redemption. The fact that they tried made him seem un-Meryl. He was not Meryl when he decided to say, you know what, Michonne? I'm a nice guy. I'm going to let you go. And then he
going
went
to sacrifice myself.
Sacrifice himself for the greater good. Who Rick who trapped him on the top of a roof and forced him essentially to cut off
they
his own hand.
To say, you know, he's changed because of his brother. He realizes that the group respects his brother and he will always be an outsider. And the only way for the group and his brother to, you know, survive is if he leaves the group, and if he's going to leave the group, then he's going to. They tried.
No, I know,
but
I know they did.
I don't, right? Like you, Douglas. Yeah. If what had happened is he went to the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He realized that the governor was still going to go up there and murder his brother, and then, you know, through some, you know, way, Michonne escaped, and he then killed half of the people and then died himself. That would be like if it was a split second decision.
Yeah.
He realizes, oh shit, the governor is still going to go kill his brother. Let me do something to prevent some of this from happening. Cuts Michonne free, Michonne chops half of the people and books it. He tries to kill the governor and dies in the process. Fine. But this crisis of conscience that he has halfway down the road to deliver this person, and he said many times that his brother doesn't have the stones to complete the deal, Rick doesn't have the stones to complete the deal, I am the one that does the dirty work, I've killed 16 men since this thing started, I'm the worst of the worst, I'm the devil, and now Michonne, please go free. What?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
And let me tell you. I want to at least put it out there. And you guys know. But for, you know, the one person that maybe just didn't listen on all of the podcasts that have ever said this, I have a big bias. Whenever you try to pull heartstrings, and that's exactly what happened
right there.
I just climb up immediately and I said, fuck you.
Like, this guy is not the devil.
Like, yeah.
I'm like, whoa. He was going to murder Glenn, right? And have the governor rape Glenn's woman. And now you guys expect me to believe that in a car ride with this girl that he was going to kill, he just went, you know, maybe this girl is right. The group does respect my brother, and they do hate me. And I could turn back now, but they'd still hate me. What can I do to correct this? I know. Girl, go free. And I will try and stop all of this myself, because I'm Rambo.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, pretty weak. But having him die so that his brother could murder him is... that is what they wanted to happen. And they got that done. And that was it's not really a payoff because he had to kill his brother. But
well, it was a payoff to us.
Right. It was a good, right, way to wrap up that whole, his arc.
Yeah.
He is now dead. And of course, his brother has. And
speaking of dead people,
mm-hmm.
Andrea started playing a larger role in this season.
Yes. And they showed some silhouettes of her naked, which
yes, they did.
Is pretty, it's a decent thing to do, guys. I mean, you showed me a lot of dead people and a lot of gruesome things. The least we can do is balance that somehow.
So,
I give that a plus.
Fair enough. But they essentially made Andrea that missing link. The link between Woodbury and the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think there were times when I liked her, the fact that she'd come back. Mm-hmm. She came back. At times, I kind of thought she was a bit redundant. But what did you guys think about her?
Andrew, you go first, because you're first. We haven't spoken to you in a while.
There were times, like, earlier in the season that she seemed very unnecessary, and it was mainly for the fact that her role, as it lied in Woodbury, was very much just being happy that she was no longer being attacked by zombies every 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there was a tension between her. Right. There was, it's the equivalent of everyone's complaint of they were on the farm too long in season
two. Yes.
I mean, there was a tension between her and Michonne. Where Michonne was saying, you know, I don't think this kind of looks right. I don't think this works out the way you think it is. And that definitely played into the dynamic of Michonne coming into the prison and such, which was interesting, but really just build up for the eventual end of that story. But even throughout, like, pretty much up until the last 3 episodes, it always felt to me like she was just the character that was there to say out loud what we already saw was happening between Rick and the governor, between the prison and Woodbury. And that was the most annoying part for me. I mean, the last few episodes, and I mean, we can talk about the very end in a little bit, it kind of picked up as to how Andrea as a character kind of got to do stuff, but otherwise it was just very for me.
Yeah, she was very naggy this season.
I actually enjoyed her character. And I think both you guys are dirtbags.
No, listen, okay, stop, hold on. Before you make your argument.
Yes.
I would like you to first take out of your mind
the silhouette.
The silhouettes.
That is,
the silhouettes go away.
Fine.
There are no silhouettes.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Still enjoy her character.
They're only depressing zombie pictures.
Right. What you guys are discounting, and this is because, again, you've watched this TV show the wrong way, is you saw what she went through, right? She was on the brink of death, and these people saved her.
On the brink of death? She had a cold.
She was dead.
No, I know, yeah.
And they saved her. Michonne could clearly see that, you know, this place wasn't a good place. But she liked the governor, and she liked Woodbury. And she spent 8 months eating twigs and running from zombies by having 2 zombies on a chain. And so what she wanted to be at Woodbury. She wanted the dream that Woodbury, she wanted to live the Woodbury dream. And she was willing to look past some of the things, because she did see certain things that she kind of didn't agree with. But she was willing to look past that. She was even willing to allow her best friend for the past 8 months to go off by herself, right? To abandon her friend, because Woodbury is the thing that everybody should want, right? And so having her as a link between Rick's group and Woodbury is, so Michonne is the wild animal that is, you know, willing to fight everybody and doesn't trust anything. And so she fit in well with Rick's group. And then she stayed and, You know, she wanted to live the Woodbury dream. I was willing to put up with a lot of things, even after she found out the worst things about the governor. Even at the very end, she said, you know, she wanted to find some way to resolve this without anybody dying. She essentially gave up on the idea that, you know, this apocalypse thing is the worst and everything has to be the worst. So, you know, we all have to live like this forever. She wanted to live in Woodbury where, you know, children went to school and they had, you know, clean running water and they had, you know, nights where people had entertainment. She just wanted to go back to some type of civility, and she knew that outside of Woodbury, the chances of that happening were slim to none.
I'm not an enemy, Rick.
We had that field courtyard until your boyfriend tore down the fence with a truck and shot us up.
He said you fired first.
He's lying.
He killed an inmate who survived in here.
We liked him. He's one of us.
I didn't know anything about that. As soon as I found out, I came. I didn't even know you were in Woodbury until after the shootout.
That was days ago.
I told you, I came as soon as I could. What have you told them?
Nothing.
I don't get it. I left Atlanta with you people, and now I'm the odd man out?
He almost killed Michonne, and he would have killed us.
With his finger on the trigger. Isn't he the one who kidnapped you? Who beat you?
Look, I cannot excuse or explain what Philip has done, but I am here trying to bring us together. We have to work this out.
There's nothing to work out.
And so she was that person. She was showing you throughout the season that, all right, look, we know that the governor is the worst, but there has to be people who are willing to accept, you know, that the governor does bad things, but that, and will put up with it because, you know, she was essentially looking for the greater good. We saw that that was not going to happen, and we expect that it wasn't going to happen. But without that, all we'd have is Rick is the best, the governor is the worst, and these two people are going to fight because we know they're going to fight. That did happen, but you need something in the middle. There has to be some kind of middle ground for you to see where, all right, maybe she can find some way to talk to both sides and work this out. Right? There had to be. So it can't just be nuclear war from the start of the season to the end. There has to be something in the middle. Some hope that they would find some way to work it out without everybody dying. Right? And she didn't get that done. But we needed her so you could believe, right? There had to be some belief that there would be some middle ground. The governor would be willing to give up something or not murder all of them or something. But so I didn't find her character wasted at all. In fact, every time she was on screen, it was showing you just how deceptive the governor was. We accepted that from the beginning because we know how TV shows work. But you have to show that. You can't just go, all right, the governor's a bad guy because he's a bad guy. You have to see that, you know, he slept with her and kept all these secrets from her and, you know, was willing to do all these bad things to her right up to the end where he literally did the worst thing to her. Right? He, you know, tried to kill her. And you have to see that. Or the show just doesn't work. It would just be too cut and dry. There'd be no gray area, and Walking Dead is all about gray area. That's where the show thrives. And I think it's because you guys had to watch it over this long period of time. You kind of discount just how effective her character was in this series.
You're wrong.
Fair enough.
But all right, you kind of talk about the fact that she has to be the middle ground so that it highlights what the extremes are, right? It highlights what the extremes are by having that middle ground. But wasn't that always the role of the Herschels and the Darrells and
no,
scientist and those people who aren't the ones holding the guns.
Right, but the scientist in this, he was already on the governor's side, right? She was the only one that you could see coming up with some agreement that the governor and Rick would accept, right? Because they both felt wronged by the other side, and the governor was a psycho, but he at least pretended to like her, or whatever the case was. His wife was also blonde and had wavy hair, so maybe as a thing for that. But she was the only one that you felt, for the entire run of the season, she was the only one that you felt at any point could say to the governor, alright, I know these people. If you're willing to do X, then I can get them to accept this, and maybe we can find some way to work this out. Right? You need something. You need some... So when they went to the meeting, for example, right? She set up the meeting. Before they said anything, and the meeting started, they went, all right, she set up this meeting. Clearly, there's some way that, you know, they'd be able to work out something. But the only way that meeting could have happened was through her. Without her, that meeting doesn't happen. And what you need to see is the progression of the governor going from, you know, just a general purpose dirtbag to the most evil person in the show. And without her, you don't see that. You have to see him constantly lying to her, constantly manipulating her, going behind her back and doing all these things, so that it doesn't just go from he shot up a bunch of military people to, yo, he's shooting his own people. Right? Because that would be the thing. You know what?
You're an asshole. You know why?
Why?
Because you're right. Oh. A big part... Because you're right. A big part of us realizing how much of an asshole the governor is just when, you know, you see him interact with Andrea, and the more, as the episodes and as the TV show progresses, you see more and more, or you say to yourself more and more, he really, did he just do that?
Right.
Didn't he just say the complete opposite to her?
And then by the end of the season, he is just doing the worst things imaginable. No, because he likes her. She likes him. She didn't murder him. I know the worst things. I mean, there are some things that you see, that you pick up on when you watch all these episodes together. You realize that everybody in the world are crack shots, except that one black guy. Everybody else is amazing at shooting both arrows and guns.
They've been doing it for a while. I mean, it's been a year.
No, nobody's that good. Everybody is just amazing at shooting these zombies in the head, right? Your head is a moving target. It is hard to hit. And they are unbelievable at it. You also see that whenever someone is in a confined space with a lot of zombies, they live. When somebody is in a confined space with a single zombie, they are dead.
Well, all right.
They have no chance of survival. It is over.
There's the Andrea versus governor moment late in the season where they're in the, I don't know what building you'd call it, factory building maybe? Mm-hmm.
Some warehouse.
Well, Andrea was kind of smart and that was kind of awesome how she got away. But yeah, it's kind of crazy that the governor ends up living at the end of that.
All right. The inmate that Rick left outside in the yard with a billion zombies. All right? The black inmate that ran outside and Rick closed the door and he's like, no, save me. He magically survives. All right? In order to cut open the chain where he got an axe from, I don't know, and leave the heart there and lead the zombies inside, so that the other black guy could die. He dead. Absolutely. He should have died. But no, he didn't die. He lived. Rick walks into a place filled with zombies by himself. in a fit of rage. Clearly.
But then,
clearly
but then when Glenn was captured in Woodbury, Merle sticks a single zombie on Glenn whilst tied to a chair, and he lives. So therefore, you're broken. Your theory is broken.
Hold on. Herschel is walking by himself. Alright? And a single zombie out of nowhere just randomly bites him. Right? So it is him versus a zombie that is sitting down. And of course he gets bit. Right? If there were a million zombies, no biting. A single zombie, dead. The girl that locked herself in the prison cage, right? Even the group thought she was dead. Even the group thought. They found a zombie walking around with her knife stuck in his neck, right? In a place filled with zombies. She magically survives, right? One-on-one, right? People tend to die. Group full of zombies and impossible to survive? You are alive, sir. Right? He's just like, this seems dumb. It seems real.
Anyways, I think we should wrap this up.
Last thing, the son. The son is put through his paces. Episode 4, he kills his mother, and then he has to, like, he didn't lose his shit. He actually got way worse. And the final episode, he kills the guy that is running away. Handing him the gun. And Herschel, I like when Herschel told Rick, and Rick is like, no, you saw it wrong. And Herschel's like, look.
I know it's his son.
Look, Rick. Dog, I was standing there. I know you don't want to believe him, but you have to talk to him because he's turning into a lunatic. And Rick goes over there, is like, look, son, you can't. And the son is like, slow your roll. This
he's
is
like,
the worst.
He's like,
and I do things
stupid
to prevent the worst. And Rick is like, oh, I can't really argue with that. It's terrible logic, but at this point, like, Rick, if you had shot the governor, if you'd done this, if you'd done this, none of this would have happened, which are all factually incorrect. And Rick just goes, alright.
Yeah, but you know what's funny though? I wonder how they're going to play that relationship between Rick and his son now. That his son essentially is not speaking to him. And is a crazy ass little
man. Right, has been shooting people for a while now.
You know,
At the end of season 4, there is another Shane off.
Yes, I imagine there will be some sort of mutiny.
At this point, we've already seen some of the worst things for us. Rick is going to have to shoot that fool in the face. Son is going to pass his place, get smacked down, try to shoot Rick and be shot. And then he's going to have to shoot him again to prevent him from becoming a zombie. Which, if we thought Rick was broken the first time. And after he shoots him, he's going to find the picture of the wife.
Yeah.
And him and the baby is just going to magically fall out of his pocket or out of his hand or some madness. And to go, oh, that's right.
So hold on.
This show is the worst.
Hold on. One question, since we're still talking about the son. How do you feel that this whole plot line of the son going from killing his mother to becoming one of the darkest characters of the group currently kind of plays into the Morgan episode where you see him go for that picture in the restaurant and have that moment with Michonne where he kind of seems normal?
He does, but that's early in the series. He had killed his mother.
No, that was in the second half of the series.
Yeah, that was late in the series.
No, but it's... Alright. What I mean to say is that's early in his development stages, right? Well, he had already shot his mother, but things hadn't quite gotten very bad. I don't think the war had heated up as as badly as, you know.
This is when Rick went to go and get more guns so that he could have a war. All right. It was basically the war was about to happen.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. What are you talking about? I thought you were talking about when he went to get the picture from the restaurant.
That yes, that's exactly the same episode with more guns.
Shit, you're right. That is the same episode. Yes, wow.
What is happening with the son is he's going through puberty now. He's just experienced the worst thing that anybody has to experience. And now he's literally just lashing out. But, you know, he's lashing out now but the world has gone to shit. So there's no real way to... There's not a stage where Rick can say, alright, I'm going to reprimand you by taking these things. You can't go through the natural steps. Because no matter what he does, you can understand why he's doing these things, why he's at this place. Once you essentially condemn somebody to kill his own mother, to shoot his own mother so that she doesn't come back, right? Once you've taken that step, then once you tell that story, everybody's on your side, right? And even when people see you doing bad things, and he's a teenager, he's going to lash out, he's bound to all those hormones, you have to look at it and go, the world has completely gone to shit, and he's like, no, it's not the time. He's seen the worst things. A lot of his friends he's watched die, and you know, he saw his mother die, and you can still see where there's a little kid inside of him, because he definitely wanted that picture. He says that the picture was, you know, for his sister so that his sister can see his mother, but he hasn't shown anybody the picture yet except for Michonne, because he wants it for himself. He wants to remember his mother and his father and himself in a better time. I'm sure at some point when his sister, hopefully she survives, is grown up, he'll show her the picture. But for right now, he did that for himself because he wants to remember, you know, this good time in his life, because now all that he has, I mean, as teenagers, you're already filled with rage for no reason, but he has like legit cause, and so he, like, this lashing out thing is not going to stop. You're going to see it continue. But I know how this show works. And I know no good is going to come up any of this.
Damien, you're just hoping that Rick's son will only come up against large herds of zombies.
Let me tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid because this Walking Dead is already, you know, very influenced by The Road, right? It is, you can see it in how they write the show. The Road is so tragic and depressing that by the time The Road is done, that is all you want. You just don't want to be part of the world anymore. It's not that good things have happened. You're just through with reading this book. You just don't want anymore. Please stop it. Walking Dead is clearly going down that road. I don't want them to get to that point too quickly, because that is where it's going to end. It's not like they're going to get to a river and then see, oh shit, the whole of this part of the world is alright. The creator has already said that. It's not going to happen. You're never going to find a cure. You're never going to find a utopian place where the world was infected by this. The world has gone to shit. Yeah. These people are just surviving.
Of course. At one point, when the show finally ends, what's going to happen is everybody's going to be whittled down to one person, whether it be Rick, Carl, mm-hmm. or whoever. Yeah. And that person's going to die somehow.
Yeah, he's just going to go.
If they kill themselves, or if somebody, if a zombie catches them, whatever it is, you know?
He's going to go.
It'll be Morgan. He's the one who shall inherit everything.
The weak.
When cannibalism finally gets introduced in The Walking Dead, that is when I'm going to stop watching. I'm just letting everybody know up front. Once that happens,
So anyways,
The Walking Dead is really good, but it is at the same time really bad.
What? No.
Nothing good is happening.
Yes, something very good is happening. Can I tell you what is happening that's really good? They are entertaining me.
Yes.
Right, they are entertaining me with their forms of their.
Can we boycott AMC? All they're doing is putting out the worst things. The killing.
The killing is coming back, but that's not. I don't think we could call that one of their better shows. Though.
No, but it's also very depressing.
It is, yes. Well, I actually haven't watched the second season. I was with them for the whole of the first season. I
actually finished watching the first season because of you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to say that it's a bad show, but the fact that season three is about to start and I haven't even started the second is a testament to its you know, not greatness.
Walking Dead and Breaking Bad. And, like, Mad Men is depressing, but for a whole lot of reasons. It's just depressing to watch.
Mad Men is because just so stagnant.
It's not good.
It's
just not good.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Or entertaining. Or really watchable.
I mean, and I tried, you know, because I'm pretty sure I got to, like, maybe the second or third episode in the second season. So I got far. It's not like I didn't go anywhere.
You really
get
that far. You know? You got further than I did. I think, and this is a belief that I'll hang on to until I'm dead. I think when you look at the cross section of people who love Lost and people who love Mad Men,
the Venn diagram is just one circle.
Right, it is a circle within a circle. And when you look at the Venn diagram for terrible, terrible human beings, there also is a strong overlap. Right? I think Andrew might be one of the few that is in the love of Lost and Mad Men circle that barely escaped the terrible people circle. And I'm just saying that because I'm on his podcast. But I think they are bad people. I think the police should use it as a profile and watch those people constantly. Because there's clearly something wrong with them. How do you just love terrible TV shows for no reason? They're just bad. And nothing happens. Oh, I'm sorry. Something happened at the end of Lost.
I've actually been rewatching Lost for the last month. I'm like in the middle of season 5 right now.
Apparently it was all a dream or something about God.
It was all a dream. I used to read a magazine.
I like how the last time I heard something reference Lost was This Is 40, which came out last year. And
that was such a bad movie.
Right. They were essentially... I remember saying that to you guys.
Well, I still have more.
No, I saw that last year. That movie. I just didn't want to talk about it.
I said it is worse than Funny People. And that was coming from me. That was like, holy shit. I don't know how you guys will feel about the movie. All I can tell you is that this is worse than Funny People. So stay from
that movie is worse than the Russell Brand and what's his name from Superbad spin-off movie.
Oh,
from
Get Him to the Greek.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yes, it was worse than that movie.
Get Him to the Greek. I don't know about
Jonah
that.
Hill.
I don't know about it being worse than Get Him to the Greek. What I do know is that if I'd seen that before I did my fantasy pick, I wouldn't have picked Admission because Rod is no.
But you know Rod is in horrible, horrible things
right.
That make no money.
I just didn't realize that it was a trend that is unwavering. No, there's things when I think
like,
of Paul Rod.
Like what? My Idiot Brother is one.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
That is the thing.
He's in all sorts of foolishness.
I know, Douglas. But this is what cemented it for me that, oh, he's just never going to be in anything I want to watch again.
No, he's not. And it's so sad because when he gets it right, it's...
and
he
it's not,
shoots it out the park. He hits it out the
park. It's not his fault. The movie's just bad. he's decent in it. It's just not good. What is good is The Walking Dead, and what you should continue watching is The Walking Dead. You should probably read the comic books, so, but and at this point, guys, everyone has phones, everybody has tablets. Just get it from on one of those devices. It's much better than flipping through paper, because you don't have to hold a book. You hold a thing you always hold anyway. And you flip through it whenever you get bored, which you won't, because it is addicting to know. Oh, a thing you should know is that it is not in color. I think that is a disclaimer. A lot of people might think that the comic book is in color. The zombies are black and white. Everything is in black and white except the covers. And it doesn't matter. You still feel all the emotions you have while watching the TV shows. You have 10 times that reading these comics. Because the comic doesn't have to play nice. Because it doesn't care who is reading it.
Yeah, that's true.
It plays dirty all the time.
You can say naughty words. You can do naughty
things. No. Not in terms of the words that they say, you know. In terms of the situations that they leave people in.
Of course. Because no matter how much you say, you know, situations mm-hmm. aren't a big deal. It's just the words and the body parts. There's always going to be some level of censorship in terms of that, because you can't let, you know, little Billy walk in on a 9 o'clock show on a TV that is essentially regular cable, or a channel rather that is essentially regular cable, and see this horrible thing happen.
I remember when I reached the first episode, when I realized that, oh, children aren't off limits. Because there's an expectation. We've watched movies, we've played games, we've seen a lot of media. Children are sacred, right? There's things that you can do to children up to a point, and then you must stop, or else no one is going to watch it. It will never, ever come up. Alright? There's certain things that people don't even allude to about things happening to children. And Walking Dead took one look at that and go, children are the weakest part of society. And if the world goes to shit, they're first. And you go, no, you can't do that. No, everyone would do anything to protect their children. Turns out that the guys who are writing this doesn't believe that. And it's really kind of sad. But you can't stop. I love it. I love the comic books. I love the video games. I love the video game. There's a separate video game that Activision made that is apparently hot garbage. Telltale put out the Walking Dead video game, which is 5 episodes, and you 2 assholes still haven't bought, and I don't know why. It is tremendous.
Because even though I own a gaming console, mm-hmm. I do not play games.
You should make time for this one. Yeah. I'm just going to say Bioshock Infinite, because everyone should play it. Moving on. The comic books, the TV show, and the video game. Apparently, Walking Dead has the trifecta. It is the perfect property.
It's like the equivalent of an EGOT?
Yes.
Okay.
They've EGOTed all this shit. But next week is Justified.
But yes, next week is Justified. This week was The Walking Dead. Thank you for listening.
Is Andrew. I'm pointing to a screen for no reason.
Yes, you can see where Damon is pointing. He's pointing specifically at Andrew Robbins.
Hear my pointing. This is the audible point.
Yes. So you can find Andrew on Twitter at Gman Reviews. You can find me at DJR Lost His Name, and you can actually find Damien if he ever tweets anything
at the end
Damien
of the,
underscore White.
The bonus podcast, the tech podcast episode 2. Andrew was saying to himself, like, you could hear him say, I don't know why I should stop saying that you can't find Damien. Damien doesn't use.
He doesn't. He doesn't. I think you've tweeted me once.
Yeah. it's. I can't.
However, you can also find Andrew at his website called gmanreviews.com. You can't find either us or Damien anywhere else. Good night. Thanks for listening.
I'm on Google Plus.
Fuck you. And that is how we end this.
Guys, I'm on Facebook.
No. And ring me from a spoon. Everyone's looking for someone to blame. And you share my bed, you share my name. Well, go ahead, call the cops. You don't meet nice girls in coffee shops. She said, baby, I still love you. Sometimes there's nothing left to do. Oh, but you got to hold on, hold on. Baby, gotta hold on and take my hand. Standing right here, you gotta hold on.